Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're here in the finishing up the 12th perek of Chovos Talmidim. In the old printing that I have, it's Kuf Chav Ches. In the new printing, it's Kuf Ches. I believe the Rebbe is finishing, hopefully, Bli Nedus Yat Shemai will finish tonight, 12th perek, and then we're up to the very last perek before the Siyum. And we're speaking about a person who was speaking about understanding the right approach to learning, that a person has to try to work hard and realize that it takes a lot of hard work, but not to, you know, to feel threatened by it, not to to feel overwhelmed by the challenge. V'chein hu be'inyin, that's what we're up to. That's the beginning of the paragraph by you, v'chein hu be'inyin. V'chein hu be'inyin sifrei ha'mefarshim, so too is true. Also with the svarim of the mefarshim that we're speaking about, the svarim in b'pshat b'toyra, whether it's mefarshim on toyra, on shas, whatever it might be. Or if it's talking about the svarim, a musar, chasidus, whatever it is, kishata bala ayin velil moed b'sefer, when you're coming to learn, you're coming to be ma'ayin and to learn a sefer, chashoy, think, imagine, shemalach Hashem hoishit es roishay min hashemayim, that there's a malach, an angel, that is he's sticking his head out from shemayim. And when you're reading the sefer, you know, it's funny because one of the attributes that you say about the Piasetzna Rebbe is he was a Malach Hashem. He was one of the things that the Piasetzna. So he says when you read a sefer from a big tzaddik like we're doing right now, imagine in your mind that there's a Malach that's coming down right now and he's talking to you. In the name of Hashem, because Baruch Hu Kilo told his malach, go ahead, you go teach him the Torah. Ki ma hoya tzaddik b'moroim. What was this tzaddik? Terem sholcha Hashem l'olam hazeh. What was he before he was sent to this world? He was a neshama gavoya. Ve'ifuata. Where's the malach now? He's no longer in this world. He's back there. So the malach came from Kisyakovit. He's back in Kisyakovit. Temporarily, he was on this world. And what did he do? He left us this Torah. So imagine while you're learning this Torah, imagine that there's a malach talking to you. A malach sholach Hashem lo'ilom hazeh. Hashem sent a malach to this world. Likroya sakriya, to read. Uledaber is called dvarav. And to say all the words of sholach Hashem. He's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's messenger. He's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mouthpiece. He's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's representative. And he's telling you a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. That's what it is. The Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Yedayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara brings the pasuk in Malachi. The pasuk says, "Kisiv say koyen yishmiru das, v'toyrah yivakshu mipihu." That we're talking about the person that's a Talmud Chacham is yishmiru das v'toyrah yivakshu mipihu. You should search for Torah from him. Ki malach Hashem tzivakos, because he is an angel. What is the pasuk saying? Because he's an angel. Says the Gemara in Moed Katan Yedayin, "Im Rav Doime LaMalach." If your Rebbe is Doime to an angel, Torah Yevakshu MiPihu, then you should learn Torah from him. If your Rav, so this isn't Stam, like, you know, an idea that the Rebbe said over here. But a person has to try to look at his Rebbe as if he's Mamish a Malach, a Kodesh Baruch Hu sent him, with wings, without wings, but he's a Malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to learn. When he completes teaching him these words, the Malach went back up to Shemayim. Would you not, you know, try to like strengthen yourself? Would you not make your ears a little bit more attentive? Listen to every word. Imagine, Rabbi Yisai, for a second. Imagine if we had the opportunity to have the Chofetz Chaim come here. Imagine we had the Chofetz Chaim. What would we all do? Every single one of us would run to be here. Base Medrash would be jam-packed. And everyone would be hanging on every single word the Chofetz Chaim said. Every word. Imagine the Chofetz Chaim. That doesn't make it if he's tired, he's got a headache, he thinks he has strep, his stomach hurts him. He's here. It's the Chofetz Chaim. Rav Shimon Schwab was by the Chofetz Chaim. He said, by Shal Shudas, people were walking in, walking out. He was looking around. He was like, what's going on over here? He was like, Chofetz Chaim and Rodin. So he made up to himself, he committed to himself in that moment. If people ever walk out when he speaks, he's not going to have tinus. If they walk out in the Chofetz Chaim, they can walk out in Shimon Schwab also. That's what he said. It's something that I often keep in mind myself when I have to speak. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Mamish, you think about the Gedolim in America, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, they were like there, you know, the two great giants, the twin towers that we had in America. He said a chumash here in Muncie, there was around four people showed up. Imagine you had Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky today. Come say a chumash here, they played jam-packed. But sometimes we just don't appreciate it while it's there. A person has to try to appreciate what he has in front of us. You have to try to envision. And he has to like capitalize on the moment. And when you learn Torah, realize the Torah being taught is mamish, it's coming down from Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching it to you. And how much we would apply ourselves if we would look at it that way. Don't you want to be a Talmud? Person sitting and learning the Rajba. Imagine if the Rajba was here, what would we all be doing? We'd definitely be giving our bed shot. Maybe we don't understand everything he's saying, but we'd give it our... So, you know, you have a chance to, you know, to speak to the Rajba and learning. Right? We'd all give it our best shot. So you got the Rajba's right here. He's right there. You have a chance to be a Talmud of the Rajba. I have a special schus, which I've shared with you many times. Zoicha to have a very special Rebbe. My Rebbe, his name is Rav David Kain. Maybe some of you don't know that well, but if you go to Eretz Yisrael, like Rav David Kain is from the biggest Rosh Yeshivas in the world today. Rav David Kain, you know, in Yerushalayim, or even all of Eretz Yisrael, he's considered to be from the biggest Manda Omrim. There's Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and Rav Aaron Leib, and Rav David Kain. By the people, you know, that when we went for Shabbos to Kinar, I remember the Israelis, they were like, couldn't get a hold of themselves. Like, Rav David Kain in the hotel. Like, I sat with my Rebbe, and people come over, and they get all like, well, Vashiva's here for Shabbos. Like, what's the Vashiva doing here for Shabbos? It's, you know, it's just like unbelievable. It's a tremendous schus. But when I was Zoicha to learn with my Rebbe, he wasn't the Vashiva. You know, so I, Baruch Hashem, I was able to capitalize on the opportunity, and I have, Baruch Hashem, tremendous returns. My life has been drastically altered because of that special schus that I had. Because I was able to appreciate it, what I had. You know, we, Reb David is like, I want to give you a musig of how unbelievable this person is. He's Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. I don't know if you understand what the ramifications of that means. He's mamish considered, like today, the biggest, you could ask Yosef Shlomo Mizilkovich, he'll tell you what it means, Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, and Eretz Yisrael. It means big, you know. So we were in the Kinar together, so I had to speak to him about something. He said, come speak to me in the lobby. We went to the lobby. He said, let's go for a walk. Go to a walk. He says, let's sit down. We're in the front of the hotel. He's sitting down on the curb. There's like no even to sit. He's sitting on the floor. I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting with the biggest Rosh Yeshiva perhaps in the world, and he's sitting on the floor in front of a hotel together. It was like, but he's a person that has no airs about him. It's such greatness. It's like unbelievable. He's such a malach. He's mamash a malach. And a person that has to try to, you know, and imagine, I feel so lucky that I have the schus to be his Talmud. And a person has to, you know, seize opportunities. Re'ena Gemar Brachas. The Gemar Brachas says, Kol HaKaveya, Mokom L'Tfilosai, Lokei Avrom Be'ezroi. A person that's Kaveya Mokom L'Tfilosai. A person that davens consistently in the same place. He has a Mokom Tfilo. It's Lokei Avrom Be'ezroi. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Avram Avinu will assist him. Ukishemeis Oymim Alav Mitalmidov Shal Avram Avinu. When they die, people say, "Well, he's Talmud Avram Avinu." Who's Oymim Alav? Bepalmalia Shamala means in Shemaim they're going to stand him. He's Talmud. You know, he comes to Shemaim and they say, "Make room for Avram Avinu's Talmud." Now, wouldn't that be awesome? Someone say to you, "You know, what'd you learn by Avram Avinu?" They might lock you up because they think you're a little crazy. But that's really what it boils down to. A person who's koyveya, makom l'tfilosa. He's consistent in his davening. That's Avram Avinu. There was a degree of consistency. He stayed in the same place, which means that he realized that his tefillah depends nothing on more than just his expression. It doesn't depend on, you know, the people around him, the places around him. Avram Avinu was consistent, always davening the same place. Gets to Shemayim, and this is a Talmud of Avram Avinu. Al Hillel Zaken Amru, Talmid Shel Ezra. Hillel, the Gemara in Soita, calls him a Talmud of Ezra. Avshaya Eze Mary Shonim Acharov. He was hundreds of years after Ezra. How was Hillel Talmud of Ezra? The answer is because he learned from his legacy. He made himself a Talmud, even though he never met him. Hundreds of years. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Have you been Talmidov Shel Aaron, Oyev Shalom, Roidev Shalom, Oyev Sabrius Makor Matayra." You should be Talmid. How could be Talmidim of Aaron? A person can walk around. He's a Talmud of Avram Avinu. He's a Talmud of Aaron. He could be a Talmud of. It's unbelievable. But if a person taps into a legacy, Aaron HaKohen left over a legacy of Ahava, a legacy of Shalom, a legacy. If we could tap into that and say that I can identify with this, you become a Talmud. And the Sfarim say something absolutely beautiful. That if a person does that, he gets a special siyata d'shmaya. If he says, you know, I recognize that there's a force here called Aaron HaKohen, and I want to be a part of that, then Aaron's, all of his schusim come to help you. Person could become a Talmud. Some people ask me, who's my mentor in Chinuch? And my Rebbe is, as we mentioned, of David Kohen, but David's yeshiva is slightly different from our yeshiva. My mentor is Shlomo Freifeld. Shlomo is unbelievable. You know, we have many of his books here in yeshiva. If anyone wants a book, we gave out hundreds of them in America because Shlomo is my rebbe. Even though, if I met him, I think I might have met him once when I was around 5 years old. I think he was by my brother's wedding. But I mamish have no recollection at all. But I consider him my rebbe. Just anytime I meet someone that knew Rabbi Shlomo, I ask him stories about Rabbi Shlomo. I have a picture of him in my office. It's my second picture of him in my office. I read through his books. I read through the Maamarim. I read through everything. And I so identify with Rabbi Shlomo's his vitality and his life and the way that he, and everything about him. It's someone that I want to be. So it's someone that I aspire to become. And I felt that I got the ultimate compliment once I was talking to his daughter, the Rebbetzin Yeager, whose husband is Rosh Shiva. And she said to me, "I hear that you're perpetuating my father's legacy." I was very humbled by that statement. But it made me feel like I'm becoming a Talmud. I'm trying to be a Talmud of Rosh Shlomo Freifeld. And it's someone I never met, but it doesn't make a difference. It's someone I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us through these people. You learn, Moshe is called Moshe Rabbeinu. He's called our Rebbe. Who's your Rebbe? Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu. He's Rabban Shel Kol Bnei Yisrael. That's what he's called. We all have to realize that. You're being taught by these people. When we learn the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's sending them down to teach us. Not only that, but think about this. Every morning when we say Brichas HaTorah, we say Baruch Ato Hashem, HaMelamed Torah Li'amo Yisrael. The MS is, who's our real Malamed? It's not even Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not the Rambam, the Rajba, it's not Shlomo Freifeld. Kadosh Baruch Hu alone is Malamed Torah Li'amo Yisrael. If a person sits there and says, "Evishta, teach me Torah," so that it's not even a Malach coming down. Hashem himself comes down and teaches it to you. Imagine that. Imagine that. So a person's learning Torah, he has to understand what a special thing is going on. It's just, what the dynamic of learning Torah, it's unbelievable. The roimimus of what's happening when a person is really tapped into his learning. Anyone who listens to the words of a tzaddik that was before him, and he goes in his ways as a Talmud. Who wouldn't want to be a Talmud? Say, I'm a Talmud of the Gra. A Talmud of the Rishonim, Achronim, Talmud of Baal Shem Tov, Magid, the message of Magid, Magid Mikoshnitz, Talmideim, Zchusam, Yogan Alein, all these people, who wouldn't want to be a Talmud of them? So a person can do that. Just try to like attach yourself, find something that you feel, this Sefer talks to me, and learn that Sefer until the point where you feel like this person is now a part of you and you're talking to him. That's that. Continues to send Margish Ata Ayefo. So a person feels his tired. Now listen to this. This is practical advice right here. This is pure practical advice. And it's advice that we have to take properly. So here goes. Margish Ata Ayefos Bem Tzalimutcha. You get a feeling a little tired during learning. Maybe you just learned for a long time and now, you know, your head is starting to get a little bit like overwhelmed. Or misiba acheres, or whatever other reason a person's feeling tired. And because of that, you're not learning as well as you should be. You're not as focused as you should be. You don't learn. You're not fully like, you're not present, you're not focused. So what should you do? It's better you should take a break. V'tanuach, and you should rest. Revasha or yoiser mat. Maybe it'll take a little while. It's a 15-minute break, whatever it is, or more than that. Why should you fool yourself? Sit in front of a book. Say you're learning. You're learning. He's not learning anything because you're not. Nothing's going in. It's better you should take the break. But why? Because then you say to yourself, I just lost some time. Now I'm going to push myself. Maybe because of that, you're going to get extra strength. You're going to work yourself harder. It's not just, okay, I need a break, that's it. A person's going to need a break for what purpose? Now a person should feel responsible to double down, to push himself more. But you're right, there are times people need a break. Every person has to be responsible with his own time and responsible for himself. When is it appropriate? When is it not appropriate? Somehow I always manage, like whenever I'm walking to the rooms, the guy just came in for the break. It's like I have that uncanny, you know, just sense of, just got here, you know. Well, maybe he did, you know. I don't know. Every person's got to know himself. Does he really need a break now? If he does, he must. There's a concept the Goyin speaks about in the Kinyani HaTorah. The Goyin speaks about all the different, the Memches Kinyani HaTorah. There's 48 things a person needs to learn. One of them is Miut Tzchoik. The other one is Miut Shena, which means, most people take it as shouldn't laugh too much, shouldn't sleep too much. The Goyin says it means like this: miut tzchoik. You need to laugh a little bit. You know, you need to laugh a little bit. Miut shein, you have to sleep a little bit. You know, sometimes people are just like too wound up. They're too like tense, like you know, like relax a little bit. Miut shein, a little bit. You have to sleep. Now, some people manage to take that to an extreme. That's not what he's saying. Every person has to know himself, but there is a place for that. Bituloi zui kiyumoi. Sometimes you take a break, then afterwards you can come back refreshed, and you can come back and do it right. But a person has to feel that, like that responsibility on himself. Nochoin shebeis halimud. It's true that when a person is while he's learning, now listen to this brilliant word of advice. Tase is a shinoi ma'ase begufcha. Do a change. Do something changed in your body. Kigoin shinoi makom. Like move a place. Change your place. Better if you cannot learn in your house, better to go to the base medrash. Go to the base medrash. Base medrash is your learning place. You have no other place to learn other than your house. Or you go to that place and other people are going to disturb you. Better in your house. You should have a room that is set aside, or at least a place, a seat, a chair, a corner that's special. Lilmoid. This is my learning corner. This is my corner where I say tehillim. This is a place that I go to when I'm ready to zone in. I want to focus. A person should have that. A person should have a place. It should be a change. You got to make a change. With dvarim begoy, there's a purpose to this. There's something to this. Ki chutz mizeh, aside from the fact shamokom sha'ata miyachil l'torah, miskade ishu mesugol yoyse l'torah, because a place that a person sets aside for Torah, so it actually becomes kadosh, that place. And it's more mesugol, it's more ripe for a person learning Torah. V'asya be'atzma v'ashinu itashetas atem v'poyel begufcho l'torah v'poyel l'shanois. Gam First thing is, the place itself, you get in there and the atmosphere is conducive. It's just conducive for learning. That's the first thing. Second thing is that when you go into that place, you change in your mind, in your thoughts. You go into a different place. You go into a different mode. People can go into modes. Ulahafsik kol psilehen ashechibu oisam ad ata lenyone oilo. And you stop all the things that, you know, that all the strings that are attaching you to the world. You know, you're so busy with all different things. You get into the base measures and then you just zone everything out. Ukumoy haguf, gam nafshecha, umachshevoisecha, takumna mitardei moisam. And also, just like the body, you've moved it from one place to another. Also, your thoughts and your mind will go. You will remove them from their slumber, or miiskei oilam, or for the business, shiuiskas ben, whatever you're involved with. All the other things, mundane, the various other pursuits. When you get in the Torah, into the Beis Medrash, loimar leatzman dai. It's enough, and it's just like you shut it out. Nischazek meata laavodas haTorah. From here on, will be machazek in learning Torah. There's such an idea of a person making a place. And that's really what the Beis Medrash is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place where mundane things don't happen. A person doesn't bring whatever is, you know, distracting him into the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is a place where you're supposed to focus. And a person has that place where you're supposed to focus. So once he walks in, automatically just being there, it changes your whole mind frame. And all of a sudden, distractions are like, they're not relevant. That's not my thing right now. I'm not dealing with this right now. Deal with something else. Person does that change, has a tremendous impact. I'll tell you, when I was a young boy, it was my first year in Beis Medrash. I was 16 years old, and I had a chavrusa who was it was a funny thing. He was a college graduate who came from a very modern background and decided he wanted to go back to yeshiva. So we were very funny. I was like 16, he was like 24. And I knew a lot more than he did. He didn't know very much at all. But he was very, very serious. And I was still 16, you know. So we had this, it was just a very interesting dynamic, the whole situation. He's now Baruch Hashem a Rav in New Jersey. Anyway, so he had this thing. It was his own idea. He said, you know, if we ever battle, you have to put on different yarmulkes. He bought bittel yarmulkes, he called them. And whenever we, like, he sees, you know, we got, these yarmulkes are for learning. Then you have the bittel yarmulkes, which he had them sitting right next to us. I felt a little bit like a Harry when I was doing it, but you got to put on the bittel yarmulkes. Like, anytime you want to battle, I was like, oh my gosh, here you go. You know what? It's not worth it. Let's just not even battle. Let's just learn, you know. Got to put on the dorky yarmulkes. You got to put it on your head. But there was a point to that. It's like, okay, we're learning now. We can't talk about anything else. We got to change yarmulkes. You gotta put on the yarmulke if you want to talk about that now. That makes a very big impression on a person. I don't know if we should all think about doing that, but at the same time, you understand the concept. And there's a concept to a person, you know, when we speak about coming to the Beis Medrash, there's a certain dress a person's supposed to have in the Beis Medrash. It's appropriate dress for the Beis Medrash. Why? This is our work clothes. This is our work clothes. Yeah, this is what we do, this is our work. You got to get into a certain mindset when you get in here. That's the mindset. The person that comes, you know, to do anything, you know, in flip-flops, with a big, you know, huge cappuccino with him over there. So it's a certain, like, you know, chill. And it's just, he's coasting with it. But a person that comes dressed appropriately, whatever it might be, understands. I have an uncle that runs an office, and he is a jeans t-shirt type of guy. Always wears jeans and t-shirt. Always. But he said, when I go to the office, I got to wear a suit. And I demand everyone in the office to wear a suit. He said, because I see the difference. You come to the office in jeans and a t-shirt, so then, you know, no one's doing business. Everyone's just chilling. You come in a suit and a tie, and you understand that this is business. This is formal. This is serious. We're here to do something. There's a concept of person understanding. There's a change that goes on in a person based on his surroundings, based on his dress, based on the way that he puts himself. A change goes on in your mind. All of a sudden, okay, now I realize there's something serious, as opposed to just, you know, in the middle of learning, all of a sudden, you know, something else, like, random comes up. Like, where'd that come from? Well, you know, if a person isn't zoned in, it doesn't happen. But that's what person's trying to do over here. Create for yourself a mokum mesugo. Baruch Hashem, a zechet to base medrash. We have to make sure the Beis Medrash remains that type of an atmosphere. But a person should have in his home a place where a person can go if he wants to say Tehillim or whatever davening he does. That's my place. That's the only thing I do there. I don't do anything else over there. He has a place to learn. Got my place. I learn. Just when I sit down on this seat, then all of a sudden, my mind, like all of a sudden, everything else kind of just, it disappears. It just evaporates. And all I have on my mind is learning. That's what a person can do. These are certain etzes that he's giving us. Practical etzes, how to be matzliach. Beis Hashem, we're up to the 13th perek of the Chovas Talmidim. It's the very last perek. After that, he gives a few etzes, a few warnings, which is basically a sikkum of what we've done. And Beis Hashem, with Siyat Hishmaya, looking forward to making a siyum, all of us together. Beis Hashem, we'll continue.